Well, Anglo American is unveiling a special dividend today, a share buyback. The chief executive, Mark Kidifani, is on the line to us from London tonight. And it's a staggering growth story, Mark. How long do you anticipate the good times will last, if there is such a thing for you to anticipate?
Hi, Bruce. Good to be with you. I think in our business, you learn not to bank on the good days. Although I would have to say that from our point of view, we think the underlying strength in commodities is pretty good. I think iron ore might be right up there near the top end of its scale and could fall back a little bit over the next 6 months. But I think copper should be strong. The world is short copper, PGMs, the world short palladium. Platinum should improve over the next 2 or 3 years. Our nickel business is in good shape. Diamonds are starting to recover. So I think the portfolio we've got is well set if you're looking forward in the business. So I would hope the next 2 or 3 years certainly could be strong. But I think longer term, the world's short minerals. And so one would hope we're set for a better run over the next few years, given it's been a pretty tough few years, I'd have to say.
Absolutely. It is all about demand. And the IMF is seeing better and longer recovery for global economies. And that bodes really well for this suite of commodities.
Yeah, I think that's right. And in our case, we've got exposure to the luxury goods market through De Beers. We've got exposure to energy transition commodities in copper and nickel, PGMs. We play hydrogen and the new energy spaces, mobility. Iron ore, we're in the steel business with high-quality products from Kumba. So we get to play new economy and some parts of the old economy in a very effective way. And with crop nutrients, the thing that we have in the UK, we get to play in agriculture as well with a product that's quite unique and we think quite high value.
The great unknown, though, remains COVID-19, the mutations of the virus and vaccine hesitancy in parts of the world and inept rollouts of vaccines in many other parts of the world as well. And we simply don't know if we get to Foxtrot Golf Hotel India and Juliet as we go along through the various mutations of COVID-19. It's a terrifying prospect.
Look, it's very tough, and from our point of view, when we take into account social distancing, absenteeism, and some of the other factors, we're operating at about 90 to 95% production capability. Now, the most important thing for us is to keep people safe, and so that's where our priority is. We would hope that as we move into 2022, we can get back to that 100%, but given all of those moving parts, I think we've done a pretty solid job on costs, even though foreign exchange has moved against us, that's impacted. But our margins are very strong. We're continuing to grow the business. And today, of the majors, we're the lowest cost major, whereas 7 or 8 years ago, we were the highest cost major. So the team's done some fantastic work on cost restructuring, particularly in platinum and Kumba and across our South African assets. They've done a great job.
In generations past, with the positive outlook that you're painting for the commodity cycle and, you know, ignoring the issues of COVID-19 potentially hampering global growth, chief executives in years past would have used these bumper markets to grow, to expand operations, to buy assets. You instead are choosing to pay out huge dividends instead. Are you sort of learning lessons from the Anglo-American history book, perhaps?
In part, yes, but I would also make the point that we're one of the few large miners that have invested in some new projects, both in South Africa with our UHDMS project in Kumba. We will invest in the platinum business and continue to invest in particular at Mogalakwena. We want to invest in energy in South Africa, and we're investing in exploration and development of the Venetia project. We're doing a whole range of things across the globe. So we're growing 20% in the next 3 years. So that's very positive. But we're doing one big project at a time. So we're not making the mistake of overextending ourselves. And our Quellaveco project is on track for delivery middle of next year. And I think that will certainly, I think and hope, it'll give us another big tick in the box that we're running our business very differently to where we were in the past. But at the same time, we can, as a consequence of reducing our costs by 30%, be able to pay more in a dividend. And as well as that, we've allocated $100 million, so that's about 1.5 billion rand, to go into the Anglo-American Foundation, which will go into charities and other projects that are consistent with our sustainable mining plan. And we've allocated more money to help with COVID and support the government and other initiatives on vaccination rollout programs. And we've contributed more money in terms of our collaborative regional development work. And Temba and Natasha gave a good account of those programs. So we take our community responsibilities as importantly as we take our shareholder responsibilities. We're making sure that everybody shares as much as possible in the good work that's been done and the benefits that come from that.
And it's absolutely critical. But when you looked at your television, or you looked online, wherever you were seeing the riots breaking out across the KZN and parts of Gauteng just 2 weeks ago, did you sort of sit in your London office and go, surely there are easier places in the world? I ask you this question in various ways every time we talk, because there is always an obstacle in the way of doing business. But, you know, for a moment, South Africa appeared to be tipping over the edge, yet you persist with long-term views and long-term planning and investment.
Look, clearly our presence in South Africa is significant. So with Nolita, Natasha, Temba, Pumim Zikalala, the team, they were giving us a day-by-day, minute-by-minute account of what was happening. From my point of view, the fact that the former president presented himself to the authorities, I think, was a very positive thing. It must have been tough, but he did it, so to his credit. Secondly, I think it's terrible the reaction of certain people that really did, in my view, imperil the country. But more importantly, it's the average South Africans that stood up, protected assets in Soweto, right across the country, black and white. That was the good thing that I think came out of things. And to be honest, if that's the best bad people can do, throw out the country, then South Africa's democracy will continue to improve and grow from here going forward. That's my hope, and that's how I see it. I'm still an optimist on South Africa, and it's still a young democracy. And the fact that South Africans stood up to protect their democracy, I think, is really important.
It doesn't worry you, though, that the state is proving to be increasingly dysfunctional and inept at doing the basics. I mean, that is a reality exposed in these riots as well. I completely get you, and I buy you on South Africans standing up for themselves. But we've got an inadequate state, and that has been evident for a decade and a bit.
Look, I think there's no doubt that some of the institutions have been weakened over the last few years. But to be fair to the president, I think he's been working hard to clean up corruption, make sure, re-establish the institutions. I think, to be fair to him, he's making progress on that front. But these things are not easy. Each step is a tough step. He has to manage a whole range of stakeholders. I know our experience with the Mines Minister has been very positive. We don't always agree, but the one thing we always agree on, that we're about trying to do the best thing for South Africa, and we're going forward in a constructive way. The fact that the finance minister is looking to modernise the economy, the fact that we've been able to and seen and been the beneficiaries of some deregulation, which has allowed us to invest more back into the country. I think those smaller steps are really important, but I think all of us have got to address the issue of poverty and inequality. We've got to do more around our local communities. And that's the message we tried to send with our foundation contribution and with the We Care work and the regional community stuff. That's really important. And for us, we know we've got to do more. We've got to be part of the solution. And I'm not going to point the finger at any of the political officials. It's, you know, working in politics is a tough job. I wouldn't want it. And I think we can do more to support the leadership of the country, take the country forward. And I think that's all part of our work.
What about other lawsuits? I mean, I got an email today from an activist group who are very irritated with the fact that Anglos is making super profits, that shareholders are getting $4 billion in dividends coming through and the share buyback of $1 billion. It's nice that the charities in South Africa will get $1 billion. But there are, for example, the class action lawsuit at Kabwe in Zambia. 100,000 members of the community of Kabwe are accusing Anglos and continue to accuse Anglos of destroying the environment around Kabwe many, many years ago. It's those sorts of lawsuits and sort of historical issues that continue to plague the resources sector.
Firstly, let me come back to Kabwe, but I'll deal with your first point you made. If you look at 2020 and what we paid in taxes, wages, local procurement, and a whole range of other things across the globe, Anglo paid out $25 billion. 85 to 90% of the benefits from mining go to the local country, local employees, government, companies, local procurement, a whole range of things that people don't count in the benefits. Yet the greater proportion of value in those deposits stays in country. The other point I would make, as the mining industry, and this is with all my colleagues in mining in South Africa, We pay as a company 30% tax in the jurisdiction on average, in our jurisdictions on average. Now, if you look at the big tech debate and countries saying, look, these big companies have to pay a minimum of 15% tax. Well, guess what? We're paying 30%. We're paying and locally procuring. So the way the mining chart has been structured and the requirements of us as a company to do as much as we can locally is still important. We're still not doing enough. We need to do more, and that's what the minister's been very strong on, and we're trying to improve that position. But to say we're not contributing is terribly unfair. And when somebody says $4 billion, but what about the 25 that went to the communities or employees, the government? We need to do more in the local communities, and I think that's the really important point. Now, on Kabwe, I make two points. It's an inappropriate observation because from our point of view, the litigation case is actually identifying the wrong people. We were a minority holder. We never managed the asset, and the asset was bought out by a different company 50 years ago, and the controls and processes that were in place were let go. And then secondly, we think it's opportunistic. And it's completely misdirected. And to be frank, I will defend Anglo's reputation from these type of people that, in our view, are being opportunistic. But at the same time, more importantly, we are sensitive to those sorts of issues for the industry. And in our case, we don't think this claim has been appropriately targeted, and we've made that point very strongly in court, and we'll see where that ends up. But as I said, to wait as long as they have to approach us, never really managed it, haven't been there for 50 years, and not go and talk to people that have run the thing for the last 50 years or been involved in a whole range of other things is bizarre. But anyway, we'll deal with that in appropriate and in a constructive way.
Always direct, always clear. Mark Kirifani, thank you for joining us, Chief Executive at Anglo American.